The sweat-seared pages of the in-flight magazine fall open on a center-spread advertorial for an unspecified product or country. Light-skinned legs, sheathed in translucent chalky tights, the right crossing over the left at the knee, kick upwards in the air as if in an action shot of a pole vaulter. The toes of the glossy red leatherette stilettos adorning the feet roughly pointing out a 10:05 against a cloudless, languid blue sky. All studio trickery, this background. The model lies right side down, spine curved in a fetal arc, semi-submerged in a shallow pool of opaque, deep azure jelly. The blue background appears flat through the unique translucency of the suspension fluid, a property of the particular gelatin used as a coagulator. Caprin gelatin extracted exclusively from the knee bones of wild female Mahorero goats. The tiny bones require harvesting just as the kids begin to gain stability in their walking, when the bone tissue strengthens and the collagen framework stabilizes, yet before it establishes full structural maturity. Just because these particular bones need harvesting at this moment in the life of the young goats does not mean they can't go on to fulfill their purpose as livestock or dairy herd. They will simply need to adapt without that nimble dexterity found in their male counterparts. But their sacrifice does not go uncompensated. After the extraction of the collagen-rich knee joints, the kids receive a set of Segway-type wheels on their hind legs and stabilizing front wheels on their forelegs. A few weeks of relearning the new coordination required for mobility soon enables them to career and gambol with the rest of their herd. Through all this, goat herds usher them down into the volcanic caves the locals call the Greens, after the family of goat farmers that would stow their drove away from the elements in these rocky underground chambers formed by ancient flows of lava. Well, ancient until the mid-18th century, that is, when the assumed dormant volcano nearby, the very volcano over which our present Airbus 320 now flies, erupted unexpectedly, sending lava once more through these channels, roasting around 36 goats alive. The entire plane load, crew, pilots and passengers alike, ignorant to all this. The new parent in seat 23B babbles an incessant 13 syllables in an irritating prosody over and over, kid bobbing on adult knee. The sound defies transcription, baby blather, directing the child's startled attention to the window while proclaiming the islands below by way of infantilized diminutives. Passenger 22F in front reads, "No money down property investing," seemingly purchased, judging by the message on the comp slip turned bookmark. "Thank you for purchasing No Money Down Property Investing. I wish you all the best in your property journey." Directly from the author. Meanwhile, 22E reluctantly watches Transformers 1 on the phone that now refuses to update the price of Ethereum in real time since the internet went down, or rather, the plane up, rendering any crypto tracking apps on board unresponsive. On takeoff, the wallet held just over 10k GBP. On landing, however, 9E's laptop pans and zooms around a sketch-up model of a 12-berth villa. The bungalow sits upon a plot of gaudy, hyper-saturated green, like that of a pub TV football match with the colour maxed out. To the rear of the structure stand six tiny rooms the size of Belmarsh prison cells, with similar windows bar the bars, and doors opening onto a narrow corridor. The passage appears too narrow, almost claustrophobic, barely shoulder width, but it looks like the viability of this spatial allocation has been reconsidered, and the hallway has just been widened through the reduction of the living room and kitchen space. The corridor may now accommodate a person or a line of people dancing the chicken. A happenstance not entirely unlikely given the predisposition of the intended occupants. The aforementioned green hue of the simulated plot of land in 9E's SketchUp model contrasts ridiculously with the actual native terrain. Rocky, dry, arid. These plots will need extensive landscaping, terraforming, to encourage even the merest spattering of green. Water sprinklers must operate around the clock, or around the ornate granite sundial in the centre of the lawn. Much like the golf course on the island, the incessant watering of which causes the water pressure to dip in the mornings and evenings, to such lows that locals in nearby towns barely manage to rinse off their suds, and must step out into their commutes or post-work perambulations, all soapy and over-fragrant. Such strained ablutions demonstrably impact the well-being and social cohesion of the entire municipality, which finds itself erupting in sporadic bouts of claggy fisticuffs outside bars at closing time, with pugilistic routines conducted under a fog of lavender and day sweat. Victors and vanquished alike then return to their apartments to wash off the blood, the water pressure at 3 or 4 a.m. at least permitting this. A single cherry tomato rolls down the aisle from, well, its origin remains mysterious. 2C has requested an entire grapefruit, while 2D, nails matching the colour of the drink they clink against, has pressed the call button to also request an entire grapefruit. The requests seem unrelated. The low cabin pressure causes nosebleeds for 22C. The stewards kindly provided a wad of napkins and a plastic cup, but another will soon be required as the current one nears capacity. Maintaining the brace position throughout the flight, just in case, makes reaching the call button difficult, necessitating a gentle tug on the trouser leg of 22B. "Excuse me, so sorry to trouble you, but could you possibly ask the attendant to swap this for a fresh one?" The cup, brimful now, teeters perilously above 22B's white jeggings and sweatshirt as it's taken with silent, reverent revulsion and gently placed on the seat tray of the semi-slumbering passenger in 22A. While blood-soaked napkins press against 22C's gushing nostrils, 22A, half awake now, reaches for the cup, confusing it for the Bloody Mary finished somewhere over Gibraltar, and takes a good glug. Eyes bulging from their sockets, a mouthful of blood erupts over row 21, A to C, while the cup arcs backwards into row 23, where it connects with the bobbing baby's head and abruptly spills its contents in a spiralling cascade over the child and its bewildered parents. Rows 21 and 23 unite in simultaneous shrieks and wails as shaking, bloody hands are held out in front, frantic and stupefied. Another cherry tomato rolls past all this towards the crew at the rear, who, fully locked in duty-free sales drives, remain oblivious to the furore. It's good to have something that stays on after a marathon cry, especially at a funeral, the steward says, pitching end-of-season waterproof mascara to 42D, who snaps the sweat-seared pages of the in-flight magazine shut and gestures sweepingly to the cosmetics trolley, credit card in hand. "Bag it all up."
sont tout équipés de détecteurs de fumée. Il est strictement interdit de fumer. Cela concerne également les vapoteuses et les cigarettes électroniques. Si vous désirez manger quelque chose, nous avons un large choix de produits pour tous les goûts. Nous vous proposons également un large choix de sodas, de boissons chaudes et de boissons alcoolisées.